This morning, we want to talk about peace as the number one surefire cure for killer stress. It's the one thing our world wants and pursues, but has so little of. Peace. God has given to us in our faith some great gifts. Gifts to help us live this life and be prepared for the next. Those gifts bring about in our spirit a sense of well-being, or I just choose the word this morning, prosperity. Prosperity. You know, the scripture, John said in 3 John, I pray that your soul would that your body would prosper in the same way your soul prospers. As a follower of Jesus, I should have this constant awareness of the benefit of my faith. And there are three: love, joy, and peace. Love is for my soul, my security. Love never fails. 1 Corinthians 3:8. Listen to this out of Psalm 32. Many are the woes of the wicked, but the Lord's unfailing love surrounds the man or woman who what? His unfailing love does what? Surrounds us. I used to live on a street called Sentinel Drive. And I looked up that word sentinel. To sentinel means to build a fence around or a guard around. God's unfailing love is our soul's security. The person who feels love feels confident. If you don't feel love, if you constantly think that God's love for you is up and out and in on the basis of your performance or the things you do or don't do, you're going to constantly feel insecure. How many of us feel insecure? And let's don't raise our hand. Let's don't vote because it might be unanimous. The soul secure, the soul that feels loved, actually loved, known, accepted, cared for, embraced, is the soul, the heart that feels secure. So as a follower of Jesus Christ, I want to walk constantly every day in God's unfailing love. It guards me and helps me feel secure. That's what we're all craving for. Second is God's gift of joy. Joy, if love is my security, joy is my strength. Listen to what Paul said. We are praying, too, that you may be filled with God's mighty, glorious strength. So that you can keep going on no matter what happens, always full of what? The joy. The evidence of a strong heart and mind is joy. Joy. When you get up every day full of joy, you're energetic. For example, how do you feel when you get up every Sunday morning as a kid, or each morning as a kid for Christmas? As your parents are the ones who go, because they've been up all night, you know what I mean. But you got up full of joy and full of energy. How do you feel just before you go on a vacation? Full of energy. Why? Because your spirit is lifted and you feel full of joy. The joy of the Lord, Nehemiah said, this great builder and leader in the Old Testament, is your strength. Joy is your strength. Love is your security, and peace is your stress reliever. Peace is your stress reliever. Your stress is not a bad thing. As a matter of fact, the only person who's totally free from stress is someone who is dead. Stress can be very beneficial. The fact that you have a house payment every month probably gets some of you out and gets you motivated. You know, it's I owe, it's off to work I go. Right? There's some way in which obligations and responsibilities, and we talked about this 2 weeks ago, the idea of burnout. Burnout is not the idea that I'm depressed or despair or I have no physical energy. It's a loss of meaning. Loss of meaning in relationships, responsibilities, and work. So in the middle of a stressful life, we're talking about making a distinction between stress. The stress responsibilities that are good things that get me up and get me moving, and killer stress that basically paralyzes me where I am. Love is our security. I am absolutely loved. There are different things. As a follower of Jesus Christ, if you're trying to think about, maybe I should be a Christian, maybe I shouldn't, what should I know? Here's the thing. If you are a follower of Jesus Christ, you will know there will never, ever, ever, ever be a day that you will not be loved. Think of that. every single day, God's love is there for me. It's there today. It'll be there tomorrow. It'll be there the next day, and 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 the next day. I can't run from it. I can't out-sin it. I can't ignore it. I can't sleep from it. I can't die and lose it. It is there. It is mine. It will always be mine. Is it a gift from God to me and to you? Yeah, God. Love is my security. Joy is my strength. And peace is my stress reliever. Listen to just some of the things the scriptures say about peace. Turn from evil, do good. Okay, I get that. Seek peace and pursue it. How about this? The fruit of the Spirit, the fruit of the Spirit of the life of God in me is peace. How about this one? Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts. How about this one? Rejoice in the Lord always. And I again say rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything except, of course, taxes. Don't be anxious about anything except, of course, your mother-in-law. Don't be anxious about anything as long as you're living a good life and you haven't ever screwed up. We put all these conditions, don't we? Don't be anxious about what? Anything. What? Anything. You mean the stupid stuff that's my fault? Anything. Don't be anxious about anything, but by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will blank your hearts and your mind. Well, what? Guard your heart. A guarded heart that informs an enlightened mind. How I think, feel, and act, it always comes back to the condition of my heart. Above all else, guard your heart, the scriptures tell us. So the peace of God comes right to the core of my being and says, you know what? You don't have to be anxious about anything. Killer stress does not have to be your lot in life. You don't have to get up every day being totally fretful and worried and pacing the floor. And what if this and what if that and what if the other? I mean, what if it does end? At the end of every great thing is a better thing waiting to be born if you can receive it. Do you believe that? Yes or no? If you believe that every single day, you've got God's love, that's your security, you've got His joy, that's your strength, and you have peace, and that's your stress reliever. As a matter of fact, this is so powerful. How powerful is it, eh? How powerful. That in the New Testament, almost every epistle, every letter written is opened with this phrase, grace and peace. Grace and peace, isn't it? Have you ever read it? Have you ever studied the New Testament? What is it? Grace and peace. That's how they greet each other. Grace and peace. Grace, God's love. Peace, the result of His love as it reigns in our hearts. And so we have this trinity of prosperity. Now, that having been said, the question is, why is it so hard? It's easy to affirm the path of peace, more difficult to walk it. Would anyone agree with that? I can say all these things that I believe. It's just putting them into practice. It's like, I have to confess, I'm embarrassed to admit it, but I am addicted to American Idol. I know that's awful, and I should be defrocked, and you know, but I just do. I love it. There's so many things about it. Not the least of which is it brings out these really nutty people. And I'm sure you didn't watch this week. This week there was a girl, I think she's from Philadelphia, and she was made up, weird looking, and she's kind of tough looking or acting, and in her heart she's probably very wounded. But you know, the interview before she goes in, you know automatically this is a girl who's going to sound awful. You know they're going to rip her apart. And she said, you got to have faith, man. You got to claim the victory. Yeah, you always want faith, and you have the victory. And I'm like, you just speak it. And I'm like, yeah, she's a charismatic. That's good. So I'm like, oh, that's great. She goes in, and sure enough, you know, she is just awful. And awful in a weird way that just is painful to watch. And they actually are pretty good to her. If you watch, they kind of sense that she was fragile, and she leaves and she's rejected. And instead of saying, yeah, man, it's okay. I mean, I don't have faith. I keep going. She was dropping these F-bombs all over the place. And I'm like, okay, what happened? Okay, you you know, you had the faith and now you had this. And, you know, how does this great, you know, I got the faith, you know, this corrosiveness. Yeah, how many of you know that can live in the same body? I mean, you can on the one hand say, I believe that the love of God is my security. There will never be a day that I won't be loved, that His joy is my strength and His peace is my stress reliever, and still kind of drop off and act like a maniac. You've never had that happen, have you? And you look back and say, oh my God. You know, if I were ever to be convicted for being a follower of Jesus, you know, on the day that I lose my mind, I'd go to hell. You know what I mean? Gee whiz. I'm sure you never had. Here's the deal. Just the minute we affirm peace, there is residing in the center of our minds and our hearts the ways in which we have been conditioned to think. And that is a powerful force. It's a mindset, it's the core of the way we think. When Jesus Christ, when the love of God, when you talk about the love of God in one perspective, it's a wonderful thing, but when you talk about another perspective, it's really hard to believe. It's really hard to believe that God loves me. Why would He, of all the billions of people there are to love, why would He care about me? And if He really did care about me, why so many bad things happen to me? And if He cares about other people who He says He loves, why do they get cancer? And why all these bad things happen? And this affirmation of God's love is being challenged every day by the circumstances. And you're tempted to create God out of the circumstances, rather to interpret the circumstances in light of what you know about God. That makes sense? Well, sometimes the circumstances don't seem very loving. But you've got to constantly push back against that mindset and rethink. And the Bible says we are to renew our minds, constantly renewing our minds, that we have the mindset of Christ, so that love becomes the core of my security and joy becomes my strength and peace relieves the stress that's robbing me from life itself. So we've got to replace. And the only way to do that is to displace. It's like when you say you're going to go on a diet, you don't say, I'm not going to eat chocolate cake. I'm not going to eat chocolate cake. I'm not going to eat chocolate cake. I'm not. I'm not going to eat chocolate cake. I'm never going to eat chocolate cake. I promise you, not to the day I die will I eat chocolate cake. And all of a sudden you see chocolate cake everywhere. What you are going to have to say is, I'm going to eat Brussels sprouts. I'm going to eat Brussels sprouts. I'm going to love Brussels sprouts. I'm going to love them. Now, that's a really bad example, but you know what I'm talking about. You can't just live your life on the basis of the things you don't do. You have to replace them with something. So in this mindset, these mindsets that we develop, there are three. Like I call them FUD, FOP, and FOF. FUD, FOP, and FOF. And I guarantee you, when I tell you what they are, you're going to recognize them. They're mindsets that we all have to push back against. FUD stands for fear, uncertainty, and doubt. And fear, uncertainty, doubt as a mindset keeps us stagnant. It's a place of stagnation. It's where people say, you said to people, I feel stuck. I feel stuck in my life because your mindset, you may believe in the love of God and the joy of Christ and the peace that He gives, but your mindset says, embrace fear, uncertainty, and doubt. Be a double-minded person. Be this way when you hear the issue of the things about the faith, and be this way when you're really living your life on Monday morning, because this stuff doesn't work except on Sunday. And now listen to what the half-brother of Jesus said. A double-minded man is unstable. Okay, I get that. I love you, I don't love you. I do, I don't, I do, I don't. I want it, I don't want it. I'm about the car, I don't want to buy that. I love it, I want a dog, I don't want a dog. I want a kid, I don't want a kid. You know, I'm like, make up your mind! This guy, when we had Aaron, you know, our first child, and I mean, I have to be honest with you, the whole pregnancy thing was a breeze. The birth, it was like, it's great. I didn't pass out, didn't get sick, thought I would, but it didn't. I was in there, you know, saw the whole thing. It was awesome. I'm being in the Baptist hospital, you know, they sent us a nice little dinner at the end of it with a fake champagne, you know, that sparkly. They think you're stupid enough to think that's champagne, I guess, or you're a Baptist and you're not supposed to be drinking that stuff. Whatever. And I remember so vividly that night, we bring Paula home, and And we went out to the car, and you know, they brought the baby. I'm like, we gotta take, okay, we take her home? I didn't know that. You mean she's going home with us? It's like, we don't come and visit? No. She comes home. And all of a sudden, you're like, oh my gosh, you know, she's going to live with us forever. All she did is eat, poop, and cry. Eat, poop, and cry. Eat, poop, and cry. Eat, poop, and cry. Then she changes and poop, eats, and cries. And, you know, then the variation of poop, eat, and cry. And that's it. And you're like, oh my gosh. You don't, it's kind of like, you know, you don't kind of become a parent, do you? I mean, you are one. You're in. You don't kind of, you know, you're pregnant. Well, it's not a little. No. You are all the way. And Thud says, you know what? I don't want to commit to anything. I don't want to really, you know, I don't want to be committed to marriage. I don't want to be a committed father. I don't want to be committed to any of the things that could truly bring me joy. Because what if it doesn't work out? What if I'm not a good father? What if I get married and I get divorced? And what if it's a what if? And you're stagnant, you're stuck, and you're unstable in everything. Whew. You ever been on it? Just make up your mind. Come on. Get in, get out, do something. Get off the pot, get out of the middle of the road. But Thud reigns in that heart. There's FOP. If Thud isn't bad enough, FOP, the fear of people. There are people in this room who are scared to death. Other people are not going to remember you and make your day. Well, let me help you out. You know, people are out for themselves. You know why? Because they're dealing with their own stuff. I mean, think about it. You know the truth, and it's hard to do. What if you live with a religious lie? That God loves you only when you're good and when you perform and when you don't smoke and when you don't drink and when you don't swear and you don't watch R-rated movies and all these things. You never know. You're never sure about your relationship with God. It's always based on your performance and what you do and what you don't do. You're not really sure if God's pleased with you or not. There's always a condition to it. And you're always worried about your relationship with God. And if you are uncertain about your relationship with God, I can guarantee you you're going to be upset and unsure about your relationship with other people. So the fear of people becomes what the Bible says it is. The fear of man, Proverbs 29, is a snare. But whoever trusts in the Lord is kept safe. How about this? So we say with confidence, the Lord is my helper. I will not be afraid. What can man do to me? What a great question. What can people do to you? I mean, what's the worst that could happen? You can get fired. It's not so bad. I know a lot of great people who've been fired. You can live. What you can't live with is in fear and in bondage to people. You see, you trust God, you love people. You don't trust people and fear God. You trust God and you love people. But the fear of people, what are they going to do for me? Are they going to remember me? Am I going to get a deal? Am I going to, you know, get a promotion? It's always based on people. Is it or is your life so deeply immersed into the providential grace and love of God that God can raise up any person to bless you? Or are you just in bondage to, you know, kissing up to the boss or kissing up to everyone else, and you live in fear constantly, and you never have any joy, you don't feel loved, and there is no peace, and you're constantly popping Rolaids and going to the doctor and medicating the very thing that could be taken care of if you had peace at the center of your soul? Fear, uncertainty, and doubt. Fear of people. And if that doesn't cover it, how about FOF? The fear of the future. The fear of people will lead you to be intimidated. The fear of uncertainty, doubt, isolated. The fear of the future, or stagnated. And the fear of the future is isolation. I feel isolated. Because I can't make any plans. I can't engage in any activity. I don't want to connect to God and other people because that leads to expectations, and I'm afraid that I won't be able to meet up to them. You're constantly in a the turmoil of stuff. And so you just say, you know what? I want to be, I'm an island. No one reaches me and I don't reach anyone else. I want to go home and stay home. I want to work from home. I want to order my food in. I want my all my cable. I want live, I want chat, live chat and instant message. And I don't want to be around people because people hurt me. So just let me cocoon and be a little island. And the question is that what God had in mind when He created you? That you would huddle. Isn't it amazing that we have these buildings that we have, that the house, that have hundreds of living compartments and where people live together, and they call them apartments. But they're together. No, they're apartments. It's where we can go and be apart together. Have you ever been in a crowd and been profoundly lonely? I have. These mindsets are trying to rob you of your joy. Rob you of your peace. How do you displace that? You displace that with these three affirmations. One, because I have the peace of God that rules in my heart through my Savior Jesus Christ, I look back and remember that my past is forgiven. My past is forgiven. For God was in Christ restoring the world to Himself, no longer counting men's sins against them, but blotting them out. This is the wonderful message that we have been that has been given us to tell others. We are Christ's ambassadors. God is using us to speak to you. We beg you, as though Christ Himself were pleading with you, receive the love He offers. Be reconciled to God. And until you find a Savior, until you find some way to have your sins truly expiated, forgiven, dealt with, and put to rest, you will be miserable. There's nothing worse than living today handcuffed to the past. Amen? You cannot bury the past. At the beginning of the season, in New Orleans, the New Orleans Saints coach had this ritual where they went and got a casket. And as a team, they went and literally buried the prior season, figuratively, in a casket. It was a winning season. It wasn't like 0-16 or 3. I mean, and I thought, I'm not an NFL coach and I'm not that smart, but that just seems dumb to me. Why would I want to bury? I can't bury the past. You know what happens with the past if it's unforgiven? We take snapshots of it and we put them down here. And when life gets tough and something happens, you know what we do? We take them back out. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I thought so. It's always been that way. Keep trusting anybody. No matter how fun it sounds. He says, life sucks and guts. That's pretty much it. Okay, that's pretty much what I thought. You know what? You can't bury the past, but you can't be forgiven for it, and you start building a new life. I mean, it's okay to sin, but when you start... it's okay, Steve, if you don't learn anything, come on. So I know that my past is forgiven. Do you? If you don't, you won't have any peace. You're constantly living back there and dragging it up and interpreting. Secondly, I know that my present makes sense. Past is forgiven, the present makes sense. I'm exactly where God wants me to be, doing exactly what He wants me to do with the people He wants me to do it with. Do you feel that way? I may have to tell you, Dave, have you ever heard someone say, just think about if you could live anywhere in the world, where would you live? And if you could do anything in the world, what would you do? And if money were no issue, what would you do? And I had to tell you today that I'm exactly where I'd be, living exactly where I'm living, doing exactly what I want to do with the people I want to do it with. To me, that's success. This makes sense to me. What did Jesus say? Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. I don't give it to you as the world gives it to you. And the world can give you some peace. I mean, there is some peace when you've gotten that raise for a little while, right? There is some peace when you get that new job. You remember when you got your job you had now and you were happy? You look back and now and you say, what was I thinking? You were brain damaged. That's what you're thinking. And you're brain damaged into thinking that you're working around a bunch of sharp people. It's a peace that passes understanding. Do not let your heart be stirred up. Do not be afraid. How many times did God has to tell us, don't fear, don't be afraid, trust my love, live in my joy, and know my peace. Amen? So there's a why would any of us in this room be depressed, despondent, upset, mad, ready to walk away from God, no matter what the news has been? Where is it that you have ever gone or ever will go that the love of God and the grace of God will not go and sustain you there? I have never known that place. My past is forgiven, my present makes sense, and my future is secure. I love this. Jesus said, but not your heart in trouble. You're trusting God. Now trust me. There are many homes where my Father lives, and I'm going to prepare a place for you. When I'm ready, I'm going to come and get you so that you can always be with me where I am. And if this were not so, I would have told you plainly. Jesus says, I'm going to go away. I've got a future prepared for you. And when I'm ready and you're ready, I'll come and get you. Isn't that comforting? Come on, just a little bit. Just a little. I'm bulletproof until God is done with me, aren't you? Come on. Nothing can take me till I'm done. Not cancer, not a car, not a mother-in-law, not anything. I'm walking and living every day in His providence. I'm kept by His love. I'm living in His joy, and I know His peace. And when I meet you on the street, you meet me somewhere. You meet me at Costco. Isn't Costco awesome? you just say, grace and peace, grace and peace, grace and peace. Grace and peace, brother. Peace. I'm at peace. I'm seeking peace and pursuing it. I'm not living with any anxiousness or turmoil because I've let all of my prayers and my petitions known to God. I love the word petition. Petition is a formal request. I've requisitioned a new life, God. When's it coming? God, I've told you everything I want, everything I feel, every fear, every anger, every depression, you know it all, and I want it fixed. I want a new life. I want to be a new man. I want to be the man you had in mind when you created me. I am secure in your love. I walk in your joy, and I am surrounded in your peace. That is why it is so great to be a Christian. I remember writing a book entitled, Why I'm No Longer a Christian. And that would be a great book. You know why? Because they hijacked the name Christian. You know what? The only thing I feel comfortable saying today is I'm a follower of Jesus. And if you were to ask me why, because He has loved me when no one else did. He said I was worth something when everyone else said, just get in line. We have seen little white southern boys like you by the millions. Shut up and get in line, and when we want something from you, we'll tell you. He loved me. He forgave me. He has sustained me. He has walked with me. He has blessed me. He has done everything He has said in His book. And He has made me an ambassador of peace. And when you leave here today, and if you know His peace, go out and let it spread it abroad like manure. Just spread it out there. It'd be fertilizer. Amen? And if you don't know His peace, you can. You can. It is within your grasp. It won't be easy. And it won't stay in place because those mindsets that you have created over life are hard to displace. But you're going to keep on going because you're going to keep on worshiping, loving, growing. That's why the gathering says we gather to grow. To grow together in love, up into Christ, out through ministry, living the life God gifted us to live, and more as more and more people converted to the way of Jesus. That's our mission. That's our life. That's our joy. That's our fellowship. That's everything. That's why we're together. That's our meat, our drink, our food, our joy, our passion. Hey, it's our Super Bowl. Father, I ask you this morning to reach down deep in our hearts where all of these corrosive mindsets live and pull us back from the brink of burnout, from the brink of feeling as though this is just an ordinary year. We're just going to keep recycling the old mindset, the old attitudes. And we're going to say on Sunday morning, man, oh, how I love Jesus and His peace is great and I'm forgiven and all the rest, all that good stuff, because that's my religion. But on Monday morning, I'm going to get up, I'm going to let the dominant past mindsets destroy anything I learned on the weekend. And I'm just going to repeat the same old doubts and the same old fears. I'm going to be intimidated by people. I'm going to stay stagnant because I don't have any faith to believe that I could take a risk and it would be a good thing. And I'm going to just kind of stay away from people as best I can because nobody likes me. Nobody cares about me. I'm not a part of the in crowd. Father, I pray that Your Spirit will be louder than those lies. Father, as the pastor of this church and the speaker, and I have the authority, and I take the authority this morning that You've given me to speak peace in the lives of my brothers and sisters. I speak peace in the lives of those who are struggling with cancer and some debilitating illness. I speak peace in the lives of those who are fearful in their relationships or fearful in their careers or fearful about something that I've not even had the imagination to mention. Someone who is tied up and addicted to something this morning is destroying them. I pray for peace. By the authority of Jesus Christ, our risen Lord, I pray for peace in every heart. I pray for forgiveness. I pray for joy. And I pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 God love you guys. Go get them.